Welcome from the Difference Church. Our message this week is titled How to Experience the Indescribable Goodness of God. Let's listen in as Pastor Ken Willis gets started.
Well, are you ready for a good word? I said, are you ready for a good word? Praise God. Well, I got one for you. Hallelujah. Let's go on over back to where we started last week. Let's go to Psalm 34. I'm not going to preach everything I preached last week, but I just want to put you in remembrance of the things that I've told you. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm getting all my words mixed up. Hallelujah. Praise. Ha. Blah. Blah. Ha. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. But we started talking about last week. I actually thought it was going to be one message, but, you know, I didn't finish. So I ain't going to finish today, I can tell you that. So it's kind of turning into a series, I guess. But anyways, we started talking about last week about how to experience the indescribable goodness of God. How to experience the indescribable goodness of God. Now, in experiencing the indescribable goodness of God, a lot of people think, oh man, I'm just waiting for God to pour out all of his goodness. Oh Lord, just pour out your goodness. Oh Lord, here I am like a funnel. Just get all your goodness. But I think we kind of forget a key element. We can't just come and sit as I like to say, sit under the spout where the glory comes out. Now, that's all wonderful. We want to do that, right? I want to get right into his presence and let him just love on me and just pour into me. But it's not an all God side, is it? It's not all on God. Well, God, I'm going to sit here. You're just going to do everything else. No, there's a usward side. There's a me side, right? I have something to do. And that's what I want to talk to you. I want to show you today. And I'm going to show you not only am I going to show you what you need to do, but I'm going to show you how you need to do it and what's going to become of it. Amen? This is good. This is going to be awesome. Now, let's just read this real quick. It says, starting in verse 1, it says, I will praise the Lord. Uh-oh, we've got into one of them right there. Who will praise? God will cause me to praise him. I'm just going to sit here and God's just going to take me over. How many know that's not God? God doesn't make anybody do anything. Well, he makes people go to hell. No, he doesn't. No, that he gave you a choice. So you get to choose. He says, I set before you life. I set before you death. Blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose. You choose. No, God has never sent anybody to hell. In fact, he did the opposite. He created this amazing vessel through which we can step into that vessel and be and completely avoid hell. Yeah. That vessel's name is Jesus. Amen. That's why the New Testament, Paul talked about in Christ, in him, in whom. You need to read all those verses that Paul talks about in the epistles, man, right? And realize when it says in him, he's talking about you. If you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he's talking about you, right? But let's talk about this today because, I'm telling you, if you will do this, you will begin to see victory in your life like you've never seen. Amen, Pastor Ken. That's good stuff. Hallelujah. Amen. I'll be my own amen corner. Praise God. That's how happy I am today. Hallelujah. But he says here, he says, I will praise the Lord at all times. How many know that means even in the bad times? Can I throw an extra word in there for you? How many know that means especially in the bad times? How many know it's easy to praise God when all the ducks are in a row? Everything's in formation. Everything's just great. Everything's running smooth. Everybody's happy with you. Nobody says anything about you. You know, I mean, everything's just, you don't have any bills. I mean, all the bills are paid and you're just able to, Father, I just praise you. Thank you. But what about when the heat gets turned up a little bit? What about when the enemy starts throwing some challenges at you? What about when you begin to face some struggles? Because Jesus never said we wouldn't face struggles. He said, in this world, there will be persecution, but be of good cheer. I have already overcome the world. Well, how does he do it? He tells us over in 1 John, we overcome the world even by our faith in God, right? So we're going to face stuff. So let's not ignore it. Let's look at it and go, yeah, devil, I see what you're trying. How many know the Bible tells us in Isaiah 54:17, it says, no weapon that is formed. The Bible never said we weren't going to face challenges. And it certainly didn't say stick your head in the sand about it. It says to look at that challenge and say, get out of my way. That's what Jesus said. Are we going to do what the world says, or are we going to do what Jesus said? Come on. Are we going to do what religious people might say, or are we going to do what Jesus said? And because when religious people say something that's different than what Jesus said, they're foolish. I said it. They're foolish. Right? Because the wisest thing you could ever do is do what Jesus said do. Remember when the very first, his very first, he came up out of the water. He's been baptized with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit came up on him like a dove, man. He's walking in the power, comes out of the desert. Remember, went in, got tempted and all this. He comes out in the power of the Spirit, the Bible says. Very first miracle, he goes into Cana and they've got this wedding feast going on. And then and all of a sudden they run out of wine. So everybody's like, oh, we're out of wine. Mary's like, I got this. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, she comes up to her son Jesus and says, hey, Jesus, they're out of wine. He goes, what's this got to do with me? And she didn't even acknowledge what he said. And mama just turned to the guys and says, whatever he tells you, do it. She's like, what do you mean, what does this got to do with me? Just do what he says, you know? And then he tells them, fill the water pots with oil. Fill the water pots with water. And then dip some and take it to the people, or the husband of the feast, or whoever it was. Anyway, and so they dipped some out. And as they dipped it and as he drank it, it was wine. Now, that wine, it takes 18 months to get grapes to that level. And God did it like that. Why? Because all things are possible with God. Right. Amen. Hallelujah. So what are we going to do? We're going to do what Jesus said. So here we go. Let's do what Jesus said. All right. So let's look at the Bible. It says, I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak of his praises. Yes. Never once have I seen in the Bible where it says, talk about the devil's works. Never once have I read, and I've read through it, come on. I have never once came across a verse where it says, let's praise the devil for how bad he is. Never once. But the Bible tells us as people of God, I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praises. I will boast only in the Lord. Let all who are helpless take heart. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Let all those that are helpless, you feel like you're helpless. I said I wasn't going to preach on this. Okay. Let all those who are helpless take heart. Go back and listen to last week's message. All right. Come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness. Let us exalt his name together. I prayed to the Lord and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. Yes, thank you. Come on. Yeah. I prayed to the Lord and he answered me. How many know our God answers prayer? Yes. Hallelujah. I prayed to the Lord. He answered me and he freed me from all my fears. Those who look to him for help will be radiant with joy. Yes. Woo. Come on now. How many know it's okay to go woo in church? It's okay to get excited in church. We have the greatest reason to have joy than anybody in the earth. We are in partnership with Jesus. And so many times he talks about joy. Joy, come on, we need to get our joy stirred up. He says those who look to him for help will be radiant with joy. When you're really looking to Jesus, you're going to be joyful. Why? Because if you're really looking to him, you're going to go like, you know, when you go in to do a business deal and maybe you don't feel like you've got the finances to get this business deal accomplished. Now, how many know if you're just looking to yourself and your own natural means, you might have a problem. You might be a little nervous about going, what are they going to say? What are they going to do? But if I'm in partnership, like Brent was almost said, Pastor Brent, like Brent said, was that prophetic? I don't know. Anyways, just messing with you. But if like Brent said, if you're in partnership with somebody, I started thinking about that when he said that, and it's like, if I know that I'm in partnership with God, then I don't care what the doctor says. I don't care what the financial people say. I don't care what the marriage counselor says, or what, I don't care what anybody says. If I'm in partnership with God, I'm not walking in there trusting in my own ability to get this business deal done. He may want $50 million and I may only have $2. Not 2 million. But now if I'm going solo, okay, I got reason to be nervous. But if I'm in partnership and I can put my $2 with somebody that has $100 million and I'm in partnership with them, I'm going to walk into that meeting. I'm going to go $50 million, nothing. The check will be in the mail. I'll have it to you by Friday. Now I'm going to go back. I'm going to say, hey, partner. So we got that deal. You just owe him $49 million. You owe him everything but $2. I already gave you my $2. You just got to put up the rest. But see, that partnership gives me confidence to walk in with confidence and go, oh, this is, no. Partner told me to go get that, go attain that, to go acquire that building, go acquire that facility, go acquire that business, whatever it is. He didn't tell me there was a limit. And so now it's not dependent upon my $2.50. Right? It's dependent upon what my partner has. Yeah, come on. See, so when I approach sickness and disease, it doesn't matter what the devil's saying. It doesn't matter what the doctors are saying. What matters is what my partner said. Yes. My partner's the one that hung on the tree and took the stripes on his back.
That's right.
So it doesn't matter what the devil's saying. It doesn't matter what the fears and anxiety says. No, my partner said I'm free.
Yes.
I said my partner said I'm free.
Yes.
I said my partner said I'm free.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Man, that'll put a smile on your face. That'll cause you to be joy. That'll cause you to be exactly what they say here. He says, where is it? There it is. Those who look to him, those who look to their partner for help will be radiant. It will just be automatic. You don't have to go, wait a minute, I'm supposed to be joyful right now. You won't have to do that. If you just get in the word, the Bible says in Joshua 1:8 says, meditate day and night upon the scriptures that you may observe to do them. Then your way will be made prosperous. Then you will have good success. Glory to God. Now, here's what the Lord's really been showing me is that, and wants me to communicate this, is that there's nothing wrong with some formulas. Some formulas are just whack. Okay, you need to get rid of some of those formulas. But there's nothing wrong with all formulas. But let me tell you something. This is not a formula.
Yeah.
It's not a thing where you got, okay, wait a minute. Okay, I went to church. I was told that I need to act joyful. I didn't tell you to act joyful. I said to be joyful.
Yeah.
The Bible didn't say act joyful. It said be joyful. It says look to him and you will be joyful. It's like in Acts 1:8 when he says, but the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will be witnesses. You won't have to focus on, you don't have to build up the courage and overcome the fear to come up and say hi to somebody, because when you've got the Holy Ghost really upon you, man, you're excited to give them. This is the best news ever.
Come on, amen.
Amen?
Amen?
So we just will be. It's the power of being. We are human beings, not human doings.
Mm-hmm.
We're called to be powerful in God. Amen, but it's rooted out of that relationship with him. All right, I got to keep on going. Let's just jump down to verse 8. Verse 8 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. All right, now go over with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And that's where we're going to spend the rest of our time. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Hoo-wee. Here comes the method. Right here, I told you, we're talking about how to experience the indescribable goodness of God.
Amen.
Now I'm going to show you how to do it, and I'm going to show you the results of it. Amen? All right? So what you need to do is praise him.
Mm-hmm.
What you need to do, we're going to talk about what, how, and what's the results. Okay. What you need to do is praise him. We need to develop this life of praise. Psalm 22:6 says that God inhabits the praises of his people. That word inhabits, if you study it out in the Hebrew, one of the meanings of it is ambush. In other words, as we're praising God, God is ambushing the enemy of our life. See, that's why we don't have to be caught up in what the devil's doing. We don't have to be caught up in all that. No, Father, I praise you. Lord, I'm in partnership with you, Lord. I thank you. Glory to God. You know, we're in partnership with different ministries. We're in partnership with a human trafficking organization, A1, right? And we give to them. We give into that as a mission. We give into that. Well, this is the beautiful thing. I don't have to go out and do all the work that they're doing. Why? Because I'm in partnership with them. So I reap the rewards and benefits of what they're doing because I'm sowing into it. One for Israel. We sow into One for Israel. I don't have to do everything they're doing because I'm in partnership with them. And he goes on. Young Life is another one we do. Options Pregnancy Crisis Center. Uganda Faith Children's Home over in Uganda. Pastor Hudson, we just did a big project for them here recently. See, but I get to rejoice because of what we got to do. Did you know that we put some fences up? Did you know that we bought some more pigs? They didn't buy them, just them. We did because we sowed into it. That creates that partnership. Amen. So when we do our part in partnership, God does the rest. Amen. All right, so let's get into this. Here we go. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, starting in verse 12. I love this story. This is amazing. So the people of God, the Israelites, they're facing these battles, and these people are coming after them. And I'm without getting into all. You can go back and read the backstory before verse 12. But they're being attacked and all these kind of things. But I want you to see what happens. It says in verse 12. It says, "Oh, our God, won't you stop them? We are powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack us." Now, what is he saying? He says, "God, we need your help because us ourselves, we can't win this battle." And maybe you've faced some battles, and maybe you are facing some battles that you just don't feel like you can win right now. But I am giving you the key today to your victory. I am giving you the answer today that if you will do what the Bible says, you will get what the Bible says you'll get. But he says, "Oh, our God, won't you stop them? We are powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack us. We do not know what to do." You ever felt that? You ever been there where like, "Lord, I don't even know what to do. I'm at a complete loss." Says, "We do not know what to do, but we are looking to you for help." There's a key. But we are looking to you, even when you don't feel like you know what to do, you don't feel like there is anything you can do, the best thing you can do is look to him. So he said, "But we do not know what to do, but we are looking to you for help." Well, the problem is a lot of people start looking to God, but they don't like what God tells, how God tells them to do it. So they go back to their own way of trying to do it, and they end up being defeated. And then they say, "Well, that faith stuff don't work because I tried it." Well, there's nowhere in the Bible to say try faith. It said walk by faith. Yes. Don't try it. We don't try it. Don't try, do. Be doers. He said, be doers of the word, not triers of the word. Amen. It's a sold out commitment, man. I believe God. I believe God. It will be just as he told me in his word. Bless God. I'm going to do it. I'm going to receive what God says I'm going to receive from it. Amen. All right, verse 13. "As all the men of Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children, the Spirit of the Lord came upon one of the men standing there. His name was Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, son of Benaiah, son of Jael, son of Mattaniah, a Levite who was a descendant of Asaph." There's your lineage. But anyways, verse 15 says, he said, "Listen, all you people of Judah." He said, "Listen, all you people of the Difference Church." All you people of the Difference Church, come on in Jerusalem. Listen, listen, King Jehoshaphat. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Everybody say, but God's. Come on. The battle's not yours. Quit trying to fight battles that you can't win, even if you do fight them. Come on, why don't you look to the one who's going to help you win the battle? Let him fight it for you. Let him fight it for you. Amen. Says in verse 16, he says, tomorrow, march out. And this is what this was the instructions of the Lord. Tomorrow, march. How many know it's important to get the instructions of the Lord? And I'm giving you those instructions today. So here we go. But he says, tomorrow, march out against them. You will find them coming up through the ascent of Ziz at the end of the valley that opens into the wilderness of Jeruel. But you will not need to fight. But you will. So he's telling us, he's telling you to position yourself. In fact, the next words are, position yourselves. Take your positions. Then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. And we're going to find out here in a little bit when he says take your positions, you're going to find out what position he's talking about. So march out there. This is where you need to go. This is where they're coming up. So you go this way and I want you to, you get out there. You won't need to fight, but take your positions. There is a position you need to take to get the victory. You don't have to do everything to get the victory, but there is a position you need to take to get the victory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It says, then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. I'm okay with him calling it his victory because he's the one giving me the victory. Amen. In fact, the Bible tells us we've already been given the victory. We just have to walk it out. Walk out that salvation. What do you mean walk it out? Well, just walk it out the way the Lord tells you to walk it out. Right? Don't get worried about it. He told you up there, don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Come on, we're going to believe God. We're going to do what God says and just know. I don't care what it looks like. We're just going to know God's. We're going to get God's results because we did it his way. Amen. Now, that's a formula that will work. Right there. Amen. But you will not need to fight. Take your positions and stand still and watch the Lord's victory. He is with you. You got to remember that. He is with you. Oh, people of Judah and Jerusalem and the different church, do not be afraid or discouraged. He tells us again, don't be afraid, don't be discouraged. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you. Yes. Ah, come on, we're getting to the good stuff. Come on, glory to God. Then King Jehoshaphat bowed low with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem did the same, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites came, the Levites from the clans of Kohath and Korah stood to praise the Lord. Like, wait a minute, wait, they're having a worship service, but there's a battle going on. There's something here that maybe you're missing. Yeah, there's a battle going on, and they decide to worship. Whew. So they stood there, and they praised the Lord, and the God of Israel, with a very loud shout. Said, man, PK, sometimes when you're preaching, you shout. Yes, because I'm excited about God. Amen. Maybe you should try it sometime. If you have to, try it in your closet at home and get warmed up.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, it's a song I've been listening to lately. It's an old song from Rhema Singers and Band when we were at the school there. And it says, I'm just warming up.
Come on.
I'm just warming up. And one of the lines is, when I go to church, you know, he talks about, I went to a church and they thought I was kind of extreme and whatever. But when I go to church, I don't go just to take up space. I love that line, man. When I go to church, I don't go just to take up space. Man, we came here to worship God. We might as well do what we came for.
Yeah.
Amen. So I'm going to be excited about God. We came here to get excited about God, right?
Come on.
Amen. Well, if you didn't, well, you should.
Come on.
You know, come on, let's get excited about God. Dad Hagen used to always say this. He says, come on, guys, get excited about God. It's when you get excited about the word that the word works for you. Amen. Come on, how many know the gospel is an emotional, I mean, not just emotional, that was the wrong word. I mean, Israelites were emotional people, man. They were passionate, that's the word I'm looking for, not emotional. Passionate, it's a passionate gospel. It's about loving God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your strength, everything that is within you, man. I'm just like, God, you're so amazing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, glory to God. Okay, I'm preaching to myself. Okay, here we go. Here we go. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. I'm glad I'm not the only one. All right. But he says, so they went out and they stood to praise the Lord and the God of Israel with a very loud shout. Early the next morning, the army of Judah went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. On the way, Jehoshaphat stopped and said, listen to me, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem and the different church. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be able to stand firm. Believe in his prophets, and you will succeed.
Yes.
After consulting the people, the king appointed singers. Let me say that again just in case you thought I said singers. Singers. They're going out the battle, and it says, and after consulting the people, the king appointed, you know, I think about that consulting the people. He probably had to tell them, okay, this is what I'm going to do. Who's willing to go? Probably had to consult the people to see how many people is willing to actually do this. But anyway, he says, after consulting the people, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army. Ahead of the army. Singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. This is what they sang. Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever. And I wrote a note here on my, as I was putting this in my notes, actually I meant to type something else. And then when I did, it auto-corrected me. And this is the one time that I think God got involved with the autocorrect. Right? I tried to type praisers out front, right? And this is what it typed. Praises out front, right? And I saw that and I'm like, oh, dang, that's good. Ooh, Lord, I'll leave that autocorrect alone right there. That's the one time that it worked out for me. And the Lord began to speak to me. It's so important that even they were going to battle, but they put their praises out front. You need to get your praises out in front of your battle. You ever heard the phrase, man, we got to get in front of this thing. Yeah. We got to quit chasing the thing. We got to get out in front of it. This is one time where you really need to get out in front of it. Yeah. When there's a battle coming, first of all, you should have a lifestyle of praise. Yes. Let's get that out settled up front, right? Yeah. Let's get out in front of that, okay? But when there are challenges, you really need to get your praises out in front of the thing. In other words, before you go, you're going to try to figure out, will the bank loan me this? Or will the doctor say, who cares? No, get your praises out in front of it. Yes. Just get out there and get your praisers out front. Come on. Father, I just praise you. I thank you, Lord. I see this dilemma. I see this challenge. But Lord, I thank you that you've given me the victory. Father, you are so faithful. You are so good. Father, I'm not going to be afraid of this thing. I'm in partnership with you. You are such a good God. You are so faithful. You are my healer. You are my provider. Father, all of your names in your Bible, even they talk about that. You are Jehovah Rapha, the Lord God, my healer. Hallelujah. You are Jehovah Jireh, the Lord God, my provider, which means that you see ahead and you get out ahead of that thing. And so, Father, I just praise you for it right now. I thank you for the answer. I thank you that you've already given me the victory. And I just trust you, Lord. And I bless you. And I thank you. And I refuse to fear. And I refuse to be discouraged. And I just say, Father, praise you. Thank you for your mighty work in advance in Jesus' name. Praise God. Get your praises out in front of this thing. But that's what they did. He got singers and he put the praisers out front. Out front in the battle. Now watch this. Are you ready to get to the results? Come on, now you know what to do. Now you know how to do it, right? So here we go. At the very moment, they began to sing. Come on, I said at the very moment. At the very moment. Is there anybody breathing out there? Come on, let me check your pulse. At the very moment, they began to praise. At the very moment they began to sing and give praise, the Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting amongst themselves. Come on. Yes. Woo! How many would like to sit in the grandstands and just watch the devil's armies fight each other? Verse 23, the armies of Moab and Ammon turned against their allies. Woo! Turned against their own, the people that's supposed to be helping them beat you up. The evil spirits and things that the enemy has sent to try to discourage you. Now they're fighting amongst each other. The armies of Moab and Ammon turned against their allies from Mount Seir and killed every one of them. Come on, let them kill each other. After they had destroyed the army of Seir, they began attacking each other. So when the army of Judah arrived at the lookout point in the wilderness, all they saw were dead bodies. Come on, as you begin to praise God, you're going to say, God, can just give me a glimpse. And maybe God will allow you to get a little glimpse into the spirit realm, and you see just a bunch of dead demons just laying everywhere. Those demons of fear and anxiety and stress and poverty and lack and sickness and disease, they're all just laying dead on the ground. What caused that? All while all that's going on, you're going, thank you, Lord. You're so good. You're so good, Lord. I thank you that you're protecting me from the heat of the battle. Thank you, Lord. I praise you. You are so faithful. God, your word is so good. Father, I believe your word. I believe you. I thank you for your faithfulness, God. You are so good. Come on. Get your praise out in front of this thing. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. All right, let's see. Let's see. Let's get to the results. So they attacked each other. So when the army of Judah arrived at the lookout point in the wilderness, all they saw were dead bodies lying on the ground as far as they could see. Not a single one of the enemy had escaped.
Come on.
Come on.
Yes. Yes.
Not a single. God can make sure that not a single attack escapes.
That's right. Come
on. Having to deal with him. What he told him, he says, go out there, position your, what was that position? It was a position of praise.
Yes, yes.
He says, and you're not even going to have to fight. Mm-hmm. But position yourselves. Positioning yourself with the right position is important.
Right.
And you've got to have that in position of praise. It is important. But while you're taking that position of praise, you're not fighting.
That's right.
You can't praise and fight at the same time. Because if you're trying to praise and you're trying to fight, first of all, you ain't even supposed to be fighting. Right? There is one fight the Bible tells us in the New Testament we're to fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Not fight the good fight of everything you can muster in your own energy. No, fight the good fight of faith. And what does faith do? Faith says, oh, I trust God. Faith is confidence towards God. It's like, God, I trust you. Praise God. Oh, I got to hurry. Okay, glory to God. Ugh. Hallelujah. I just want to run around this place. All right. May end up doing it after all. We'll see. All right, let's look at the results real quick. Here we go. Verse 25. King Jehoshaphat and his men went out to gather the plunder. See, when you're praising God and God slays all your enemies, now all you got, your other part is to go out and gather the plunder. The thing, to receive it. Receive the things that you've been asking God for. Receive the things you've been praising God for. Hallelujah. We're going to go out and gather. We're going to gather the plunder. They found vast amounts of equipment, clothing, and other valuables, more than they could even carry. There was so much plunder, come on, that it took them 3 days just to collect it all. Woo-wee. Come on, glory to God. There was so much plunder. There was so much victory. It's going to take you a while just to gather it all in. Hallelujah. But it's there for your taking. And it was all made available because you made a decision. I'm going to praise my God even in the midst of a trial, because no weapon that is formed against me will prosper, and every tongue that rises up against me in judgment will be proven to be in the wrong. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and my righteousness is of God. Hallelujah. He says, for their righteousness is of me, saith God. God said that. God said that. Hallelujah. So if God said it, that's good enough for me. Hallelujah. In fact, this was such an amazing encounter that the Bible goes on to say in verse 26, it says, on the fourth day they gathered. On the fourth, remember, it took them 3 days to gather it all. And on the fourth day, they gathered in the valley of what?
Blessing.
Why was it the valley of blessing? It says, which got its name that day because the people praised and thanked God there. Hallelujah. You want blessing in your life? You want to be able to enjoy some valley of the blessing? You want to be able to be in a place of blessing? Get your praise on. Get your praise. Get up on. Come on, stand up on your feet. Come on, let's go. Come on, we're going to praise God right now. Father, whatever's going on in your life, whatever you're facing, whatever your challenge, don't go, oh God, look how bad this is. No, Father, we praise you for the victory. We thank you that you're faithful. We thank you that you're good. We thank you that you're the provider. We thank you that you're the healer. We thank you, Lord, you are our peace. You are our joy. You're everything that we need. Praise you, praise you, praise you, Lord. Oh, God, you're so wonderful. Oh, you're so good. We praise you, Lord. We thank you. You're so faithful. You are faithful who promised. You are faithful who promised. Praise you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. We praise you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for giving us the name of Jesus, that when we speak in the name of Jesus, things begin to shift. Things begin to move. And I decree right now and I prophesy that things are beginning to shift in your situation right now. It is shifting starting today. It is shifting today. Changes are beginning to happen. You're going to begin to see changes in your situation. Even today, I decree and declare in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Lord. Yes, Lord, you got us. You got us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. You are so good. You are so wonderful. You are so faithful. Hallelujah. You're everything your word says you are. You're everything your word says you are. And you're nothing like what the world says you are. And you're nothing like what religion says you are. No, God, this is not all in and of ourselves. No, God, we're just going to praise you and let you ambush the devil and cause them to fight amongst themselves. And Father God, we're just going to gather in the plunder. We're going to gather in the plunder. We're going to gather in the plunder in Jesus' name. This, listen to me. This is how you experience the indescribable goodness of God. When those attacks come, don't get caught up in the attack. Go, oh, you lying devil. Father, I just praise you. I praise you, Lord. You're so faithful. You're so good. Come on. Get your praise on every day. Don't wait for the challenge to come. See, what happens is people wait and they're like, Pastor, what should I do, man? You just need to begin to praise God. Oh, Lord, I praise you. Well, now you're all wrapped up in fear and anxiety, man. But if you live a life of praise, that fear, that anxiety, being afraid and being discouraged is not even a part of it. Even if you're living that life of praise, you say, hey, Pastor, man, I've been attacked by this or whatever this is going on. Hey, man, let's just praise God right now. You'll be like, yeah, let's praise God. Hallelujah. And we just begin to praise God because praise is your answer. Amen. Praise is your answer. Praise is what gives us the victory. Why do you think it says, thanks be unto God, who always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus? Because we're constantly praising him. What did David say? Verse 1, I will continually let the praises of God be in my mouth. I'm constantly going to be praising him. I'm just going to boast in the Lord. I'm going to talk about all the goodness and the greatness of my God. Because, man, as you're doing that, the devil, God's coming down, slapping some devils out the way. Get away from them. You ain't got no... Bam! Kick them in the head a few times, you know. Bringing out my inner WWE, man, or something. Whatever. Was that... Well, I don't... All those initials that they use for everything, who cares? I'm just going to kick the devil in the head. The Bible says he's under your feet. Yes. Keep him there. Yes. Too many people, they back off their praise, and when they back off their praise, when you back off, what do you have to do? When you back up, you have to lift a foot. And when you back off your praise, you're lifting your foot off the devil's neck. And you're allowing him to get up. And I hate that part about movies, man. You got the bad guy, man. You just kill him. Why do they do that? I know they do it for the suspense. We got to let him live because we got to stretch this movie out a little bit. I'm just like, man, you're going to end up killing him. Just end the character right there. You know, don't let him get up and fight you more. It's no mercy in war. Come on, let's just... With the devil.
Thank you for watching today's message. Please like, comment, and subscribe. The Difference Church is a church that loves God by loving people. We believe that Jesus Christ is the hope of the world and that hope helps us to impact people's lives with purpose and passion. All are invited to come and hang out with us as we pursue the amazing love that God has for all of us. So come and be the difference with us as we share this amazing love with the world around us. At The Difference Church, there is a place for you. The Difference Church is located at 1055 Bain Street Southeast in Albany, Oregon. Join us online or in person every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. We look forward to seeing you.